Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this wonderful day you give to us, Lord. And we thank you for this precious book again. Lord, I don't think I would ever thank you enough for preserving this precious book, the Holy Bible, for us to learn about the heart of God. And I pray tonight you'd meet with us on Sunday night. People come here to be blessed. And Lord, when we look to you and what you tell us to do, and this book is so precious to us, not only it tells us how we can spend eternity with you, but it tells us what we can do until you call us home this side of eternity, and when we get there, be rewarded for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you very much. I want you to take your Bible and turn, if you will, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read a few verses from this chapter, blessed chapter, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. This morning I preached the message called How to Prepare to Serve God, and it's very important, I think, to know these things. And tonight, it's a little bit different, but yet along the same line. I don't understand, after 57 years of serving God, as near as I know how, why in these days the scriptures and messages come like they do. But I do know this. I think about when I got saved years ago. In the early years, you'd hear a great message, and everybody would say amen when it comes to grace. If you're saved, been saved by God's grace, man preached on grace and salvation, you say amen and just go about your business. And thank God that you're saved. But on the other hand, I think about in my early Christian life, if I'd heard some message, maybe this is the reason God brings us through things to get us to a point to see things, maybe to help other people. If I'd heard a message along the line that I have studied and tried to preach here in those younger days, it probably helped me grow a lot faster. Because everything we talked about is getting people saved. But you know, there's more to it than just that. God wants us also to teach, and that's part of the Great Commission. Teach people, disciple them, and let them find God's will for their life. And if you don't have that, they're losing something. It's an amazing thing probably that a lot of people will be saved and get to heaven, but fell out in doing the work of the Lord because they were not taught, or what they did hear to be taught well enough to get them really settled in their Christian life, to know that while we're here, as long as God gives us breath, there are things that God says that we ought to be doing. And now here, 1 John, I want to read verse 5 down through 2nd chapter and verse about 6, quick-like. And this is what he said as God inspired his heart. Look in verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard of him, that's of Jesus Christ, and declared unto you, John said, not only have we heard it, but we have declared it unto you. What's that? And then he said that God is light. Now, I don't know. I've read that hundreds of times. But in the study of this particular message, this thing came out. God is not just manifest in light. God is not just some type of a light. God is not just one part of a light. The Bible says when you look at God, he is light. God is light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me compare this to this building's on tonight. You can see in here because the lights is lit. But if you cut the lights out right now, you probably can't even see each other for a while until your eyes adjust. And that means simply that is light, but it's not light all the time. Because those lights can cut off and there's darkness. But I want you to notice, not only did God say through John that God is light. There's no manifestation that he's having light fuel to him and he might give out down the centuries or aeons of time. God is light. God will always be light. They'll never change for anything other than he is light. You don't have to worry about any darkness here. And notice he paraphrases in the next phrase. He said, and in him is no darkness at all. Can you see? God is light. And just in case we don't get it, he said, in him, that is in Jesus Christ, there is no darkness at all. That means simply this. I don't ever have to worry about looking to anyone else when it comes to who God is, because he'll always be the same. And so he gives me a understanding. In life, there is such a thing as that which is evil and that which is good. There's such a thing that which is satanic and which is godly. And God uses the nearest thing we can understand about light, that God is light. That means everything about God is holy, righteous, and will never change. And Satan is evil, and everything about him will be just evil. So when we talk about one or the other, one is light and one is not, and he says this, Satan is nothing but darkness and never be anything else. God is light, and he said, in him is no darkness. Sometimes Satan can get us to believe something that sounds pretty good. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that his ministers can be transformed as ministers of light. He's so powerful, he can get people to believe truth, lies to be truth. And so he goes on and watch. He said, now if we say, now watch, when she's talking about God is light and him no darkness, if we, now the we is the child of God here, not the world. He's talking and writing to children of God. He said, we as children of God say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Wait a minute, God said that. Why? Because he said that walking in darkness is a lifestyle. Walking in darkness is a means of a person's life. And if a person says that he's saved and walks in darkness, the Bible says we lie. Notice another thing. He said in forth not so much the world, they world don't understand that. We as children of God ought to understand if we claim to be saved and we walk any amount of darkness as a lifestyle, he says we're lying. Wow. That just floors me. And man, I got to take note and listen. And he says, and do not the truth. Didn't say we didn't know the truth. He says we just don't do the truth. Now watch. He goes further and he said, but if we walk in the light, notice the comparison. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And by rights, I believe that he is in the light because he is light. When you are light, you can't do them but walk in the light. Right? It's never going to go out. It's going to be there through eternity. And he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin. Now watch. Notice again. He's talking we. Who is this? The child of God. Notice the first thing he says. If we say we have no, he's not saying if we say we have not sinned, because everyone here saved knows you have sin. Right? That's the reason we need to be saved, because we know it's sin. But he says if we say we have no sin, the child of God says we have no sin. That is, if you say you have no sin since you got saved. Watch what he says. He says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then he tells us this wonderful truth. He said, if we confess our sin, that's the medicine for the child of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now watch the next phrase. If we say we have not sinned. Oh, that's a different approach to this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If the child of God says he has no sin, he deceives. You know why? Because if we don't really understand how Satan is against us in this life and causes us sometimes even believe some things he says that would be completely about our Christian life, think we live in something that's not there, we have to realize that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that not only saved us and washed us in the sense when we got saved, it's a consistent thing doing it daily. And he wants us to understand our relationship now is to walk with him and find those pitfalls and those places in our life that would hinder from the light shining through us. We are not the light. It is God's light in us. And we reflect that light to this world, and sin can dim that light in people's lives if not careful. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, that is simple person to say, well, I don't need to be saved. I've never sinned. You ever heard someone say that? Most of the time, unsaved people don't look at sin like we do anyhow. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. How do I know that? John backs this up again. If you look in John chapter 5, and he says this in verse 10, he that believes in the Son of God is the witness in 7. He that believes not God has made him a liar. Because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And what is that record? The record is that he has given eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Then notice in verse 2, my little children, these things that we write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That is one who is advocate, kind of a lawyer, works on our behalf before the throne of God. Why? He is the propitiation for our sins. He's our sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In the Scriptures, we find it's the Scriptures that show us God's heart. And in the Scriptures, he helps us meet the lies that Satan gives and brings deceptions. He helps us conquer over those lies because of the truth that God reveals in our heart. Physical birth, being born as a physical babe, physical born babies learn to speak the language of their parents. Think with me now. This is how God helps us really grasp something. We come into this world, I don't care what nationality you're born in this world in, you will learn that language. Or you'll not understand language. Now, you may learn many other languages, but you'll learn your native language to understand what you need to do for growth and life and so forth. Makes it much easier. That's understandable, right? On the other hand, when you think about spiritual babes in Christ, they learn to talk God's way. They learn the language of God. Because if they do not, they'll never know who He is, and they'll never really be able to walk with Him in ways that He would have us to walk in. Now, the reason I say that and read these verses, my title is simply this, Doing Things God's Way. It's so important that not only I do what He said to do to be saved, but now that I am saved, do what He says about my walk. And I can't do that outside of this precious book. Now, when you teach you something like this, nobody likes to be told what, when, where, or how to do things. I guarantee no one in here likes to be told that. You say, preacher, you don't know me. I can ask your mate, and they'll tell me that alone. Amen? You can ask my mate, and she'll, no, don't ask her. Because I'm telling you, we're all in the flesh about doing things our way. But did you know if we do things our way, you can't go to the company you work at and do your things your way. You can't go where you work at tomorrow and do things your way. And you and I can't do what our things our way when it comes to things of God. We have to learn His way. And when a person talks about doing things their way, that includes one's relationship with God. Most people don't like to be told how to approach God. And to see the unsaved people when you knock on the door always have that offensive way against you that you're going to kind of try to cram religion down their throat. For usually these people have their own ideas about getting approval with God. If I need approval, I know how to get approval with God. Nobody wants to be told that he or she is worshiping the wrong way. You try that. You go, so when you see that. And that they have no good credibility with God. Because when you talk about being saved, they think that you don't have a credibility with God. And already in their mind, they think that they've done a few things that God's got to be pleased with, so therefore they want to be accepted. Or that she or she is just unaccepted of God. And yet it is sad but true that most people think that they can handle things with God their own way. Did you not think that way when someone came to hear the gospel? You think back when someone loved you enough to tell you about the gospel, if you remember that. You find out there's something about that. You tell me, I don't know God. I don't know how to approach God. You think I'm in this world without God? Did you know that most people don't think they're in this world without God? Don't think about it. They don't have the true and living God. They're believing in some type of God. And so here, it's sad, but these people think they handle God their own way, but they're wrong and don't know it. There is but one way to have fellowship with God. And we see that right here in this first chapter, or this one chapter, and the whole Bible shows us how we can have that fellowship with God. Now, I have 2 points doing things God's way. First was simply this. Nobody can have fellowship with God and still walk in sin. Because sin is walking in darkness, and darkness has nothing to do with the light. And when you walk with Christ, the light will dispel the darkness, and you will have to change if you're saved. Because that's what the light's for. Isn't it wonderful to know that the darkness will never put out the light? We have a switch here and cut it off, and the light, I've been in here at night when you can't even see how to walk through here when the light's off. But when the light's on, then you can get around real well. Walking in sin is what the Bible calls walking in darkness. He said that in verse 6 of 1 John 1. The world is in the dark, none knowing about God. Unsaved people cannot see God, nor talk directly with God, nor can they hear God verbally. But they tell you they can. But if you understand the Scripture without Jesus Christ, there is no approach to God. And the Scripture is the only authority we have. You must come through Christ, or you don't get there. There will never be a person in heaven that didn't come by Christ and through Jesus Christ. And so the Bible is very forceful. Can you not see why his name is hated for those who would present him as the only way of life? When they've got, 75% of the world telling us or more that there is another way other than our so strict way. Well, it's amazing. It isn't our way. It's God's way. You say, well, that's your bragging. No, it's just a fact we believe God. Where do they get their information about their God? It's from somebody who wrote something. But we know this was inspired by God. And so people only know only physical and worldly things and will never be able to penetrate the spiritual world without the new birth. No matter how hard a person tries or the method they may use, entering into the spiritual world and having fellowship with God will never happen outside of Jesus Christ. It is Christ that opens up the door and the gate for us to see into this spiritual world the things by faith. And he shows us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. People don't know exactly how God wants them to live, but they think they've got a little monopoly on him that they do a few things. I'm telling people of the world that he's going to accept that. You see, it makes sense, I believe. If a person cannot communicate with God, then that person has no way to find God nor find out how God wants him or her to live. If we don't approach God correctly, how will we ever find when we say, Lord, how do you want my life? And he said, your lifestyle would determine the fruit you have, and that fruit would determine what the world sees, whether to believe you or not believe you. And so here, this person communicates, and they find no way to God. God has to come to this earth through the Lord Jesus Christ, had to reveal himself to people, for there is no other way a person can ever have fellowship with God. Hear me, folks, and I said with a bleeding heart, there is no other way that anyone on this earth can have fellowship with God outside of Jesus Christ. Now, that makes us an enemy to the world, most of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, if we're not true to this book and the author of this book, we have no hope. We have no hope. And you're going to see more and more, less of this been taught. I had the privilege to come along when I got saved years ago about everybody. About all those churches preach this book to a degree. But you'll be surprised now. It's been revised so many times nowadays, you don't know what you're hearing sometimes when you hear it. You better check everything you hear, I tell you that. In this day, and God to have us do just that in this life. So people are foolish for rejecting the Son of God who came to reveal God to mankind. People say they can find God on their own. They don't need Jesus Christ. Don't tell me. Boy, a person is deceived to think he doesn't need Jesus Christ to find who the true and living God is. But this is what's been said today. I mean, people say that. People believe that they can get God to accept them by using their own plans and their own ideas. Surely God knows my mind, my heart. Yes, that's right. That's when he said the heart is filthy. The heart is wicked, and it needs to be changed. And only the blood of Christ can do that. And so it's obvious we must do things God's way for God to accept us as he would in this life. I mean, people foolish who just simply reject the God who reveals himself in this life. People think that if they believe in God and do halfway right, believe in a God, any God, and do halfway right, then their belief and good deeds will cause God to accept them. And by taking any approach to God other than Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, one is not taking God seriously, not taking God's only way. But what they're doing, they're literally, ladies and gentlemen, taking a false approach by being untruthful, and it's going to show up in the end of their lives. Why in the world? You know what? If people let God's Holy Spirit show them, they'd show them that what we're trying to tell them is truth. He'll reveal the truth. They don't have to believe it because we say it. They have to believe it because God inspired it and has said it through us. If I read this book, that's not my words. I didn't put one word in this book. Did you? The Holy Spirit did that. So I read this in the hearing of those people and then ask God to bless that. If a person says that he or she is saved and then continues to live in the darkness of this world, this book says they're lying. It's a lifestyle. There would be sin. That's why we say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves. But on the other hand, a sin is not something that's a lifestyle. A sin is something where we got caught maybe and didn't get it. And when God showed us, we corrected it. But taking a false approach by being untruthful is a different way. And also, God frowns on that. And if a person says that he or she is saved and then continues to live in darkness, they're in darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, for God is light. Therefore, if a person continues to walk in darkness, they do not know God, because darkness and light. And first, if you go to Gospel of John, you see in John chapter 3 how Jesus put this at that time when he said this in verse 19, and this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And when people move through the deeds that are evil, which is a lifestyle, it's a sign that they're not saved. And then for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. He that's lifestyle is that which has to obey God and try with all the different things we have in our life that hinders us. He says that his deeds shall be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That is, light and darkness can never be together. Every person must choose whether to live in God's light or in the world of darkness. And we have that scattered out through the scriptures in John chapter 1. I'll give you some quick verses. In John chapter 1, he says in verse 5, he said, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In verse 10, he said, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." That's this light. In John chapter 3, and look in 19 and verse 19 and 20. I just read that. You don't read it again. In John chapter 4, look in verse 10. He says in verse 10, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would give you living waters." In chapter 8, in verse 19, here we find another scripture that in turn, in verse 19, he said this, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father?" And Jesus answered them, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father." Boy, that puts it together, don't it? If you don't know God, if you know God the Father, you know Jesus Christ, his Son. If you don't know me, you don't know him. That's what Jesus said. When we say that, that don't mean a thing. But when he said it, folks, it's law. It's Bible. And it's important to grasp these wonderful truths. And then we see again in John chapter 14, over just flipping through the Gospel of John itself. We look in chapter 14 and down about verse 9. The scripture says this in verse 9. "And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long?" And Philip had asked who he was. "Have I been so long with you that ye have not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show me the Father?" And then, of course, we see here in 1 John verse 6, he tells us, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." I don't know any way to put it. I don't know any way to accept it except what God says. So nobody can have fellowship with God still walking in their sin. That is the lifestyle, the lifestyle. Listen, that's where he said, if we say we have no sin at all, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have not sin, we deceive ourselves, because not sin is things of the past. No sin is in the present. But he's setting forth that God, the Holy Spirit, will bring things to us who have saved, that the lifestyle will not get entangled to the place. Somewhere down the road, it will be curved. You may get off the path, but it'll be curved back to him. Number two, quickly, then, if I understand that if God is light, what is the light of God? Now, close to this thought. What is this light? The light of God is the revelation of God himself. The best way to explain it. It is to us in time, the revelation of God is actually God himself revealing himself. Jesus came to this earth, revealed God, and having the very nature of God, he had shown exactly what God is like. And I believe that. Folks, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it tells the story of Christ, I'm looking at right there what God is in the flesh. Everything he says is God in the flesh. It's God the Son, but it's God equal in the flesh. When I get to the Acts and transition period and get to the epistles, I'll see he's telling what the church should do that we may manifest who Jesus Christ is to this world. And so Jesus came to this earth and he's living in such a way he's shown exactly what God is like. Now, it is obvious if a person walks in the light of Jesus Christ, then there is fellowship with Jesus, because that's what John tells us here in 1 John. There's fellowship with God. There's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And if you have fellowship with Jesus, have fellowship with God, have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have fellowship with the Christian. Because you have it with them first. They are the end of the line. Isn't that amazing? Wow. The Trinity, each one of those have a position. And when the position is lined up like it should be, our fellowship is going to be what it should be in this life. And then I think about, as Jesus was in constant fellowship with God while on this earth, so should the believer. And then, if Jesus was in constant fellowship with God, and certainly with the Holy Spirit, he was in fellowship with others. And the same thing happens to us. We fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit, then that's going to give me the ability to learn what I need to do, give or take whatever I need to do, to be in fellowship with those around me. And of course, John 14, 6, it starts with knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by him. In John chapter 17, and in verse 3, Jesus said this, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent," who he declares to be his Father, and God declares it to be his Son. And in 1 John 1 and verse 7, we have the revelation also, 1 John 1:7, he said, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that amazing? And he says, if I'm walking in the light because he is the light, then I will learn what I need to do to have fellowship with others in this life. It's a positive thing that God gives from the throne of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible said Jesus stands at the door and knocks. So it is impossible to walk in both the light and darkness at the same time. Amen. You can't walk in the light of God and in darkness at the same time, because he is light and he reveals these things to us, and so easy for us to get the light where it ought to be. God's light represents the Christian lifestyle, and darkness represents the lost man's lifestyle. The light of God is revelation of just how God wants his people to live their lives. When Jesus was here on this earth, he showed the people exactly how to live for God. He shows us what God expects of him as a human being. And walking in the light means then that his blood has cleansed the believer from sin. In all ages, since mankind, man has been choosing to try to come appease their God. And in time when God gave Israel their instruction, they had to do it and mess it up down through the ages. And when Jesus came, people choose how they want to live, to do their own thing and have their own way. Isn't that true today? You go try to talk to somebody about the Lord, and they've already made it chosen for some reason. It just amazes me. My wife talked to people. It's not just a few minutes of talking to people, and you see you can tell when they don't want you to talk to them. I mean, they're polite, but they got other things on their mind other than going to heaven. Most times going somewhere here, than going to heaven. And nothing wrong going here when God's in his right place. But I'm saying, it amazes me how the world looks. Without Jesus Christ, when they choose their own thing and their own way, here's what happened. Listen to me, see if you don't agree. Without Jesus Christ, they choose to ignore God. We say, but they believe in a God. Yeah, but we're talking about the true and living God. Without Jesus Christ, they neglect that God. Without Jesus Christ, they disbelieve that God. Without Jesus Christ, they disobey God. Without Jesus Christ, they curse God. Without Jesus Christ, they rebel against God. Without Jesus Christ, they reject God. Because you can't have him without Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't see why. I guess we shouting gone when we realize we are special. Not that we yourself are special, but you made us children of God. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Help me, Lord. People are guilty of offending God and breaking his law. The guilt who break the law has to pay the penalty, unless someone else pays it for them. And that's what Jesus has done. I can never get over the fact that with Jesus Christ is the reason I'm here tonight as a child of God. 57 years ago, what he did for me that I saw, though he did it 2,000 years ago, it affected me 2,000 years later, 57 years ago. When I think about hell, and I think about heaven, I rejoice and praise his holy name. That because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a candidate for heaven. Not because who I am, but who he is. God respects his son in the court of God, ladies and gentlemen. And same thing is for you if you know him and your personal savior. People, again, the guilty who break the law has to pay the penalty. That is what Jesus has done. Jesus faced the judgment for mankind. He suffered the punishment for mankind. He bore the condemnation for mankind. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed upon the cross for people. And those people who reject it will find themselves losing out in the end. To walk in the light of Christ means that one walks believing that Jesus Christ died for him and her. That his blood cleanses us from sin. And that one is free from the guilt of sin. When one walks in the light of Christ, God sees that person's sin covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and God accepts that person in Christ, not in our own merit. For by grace are you saved, not on yourself. It is a gift of God. Brother Keith hit that this morning. And so when one walks in light, God sees that person's sin covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ continually cleanses this believer from sin all day long, every day. 1 John 1:7, he says, "But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." But that's the one who is walking lifestyle in the life, not someone who's letting darkness creep in from time to time. So no person can erase his or her own past. No person has any way to pay the penalty or the judgment of their lifestyle or their sin that they've already committed. The penalty has to be paid by someone who is perfect. No person is perfect except Jesus Christ. And God accepted that when he took the blood back to heaven. No person accepted is God unless he is free from sin, unless his or her sin are cleansed through the precious blood. Aren't you glad we understand? We're not free to sin because sin is here. But we can be free from sin because of Jesus Christ in this life. And so I look in Matthew 26:28, Christ's blood shed for remissions of sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Christ died for the sinner. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I look, and these verses give us some to finish up thing in chapter 1 and in verse 7. He says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." In also Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, I see God's word tells me this. He says in chapter 1 and verse 14, notice he said, "In whom we have redemption and through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19, I also see that he says this in chapter 1, verse 18 in 1 Peter 1. I love this. Quote it by heart, but I don't read it. He says this, "For as much as you know that we are not," verse 18, "am not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation, removed by tradition from your fathers." And he goes, if that be the case, only that is a cloak of religion. We're not redeemed by those things. But we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, no man, number one, can have fellowship with God and walk in sin, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, because darkness and God's light do not mix. And the light is the revelation of God himself, 1 John 1, 5. The Bible says, hear me, God is light. You want to see what God says? You're going to have to go his way. And I think, and as I close, every human being is born a sinner, a spiritual darkness, and knows not God until the light of the gospel comes and begins to reveal who he is. And only God's way will enable a person to ever know God. And so Jesus came to reveal God to people and to reveal how God wants them to live. That's what he does. He gives us the gospel, we get saved, and then he tells us exactly what we should be doing. Based a lot of times, maybe because some things have to do with our talents. He paid the price God required for sin, and only those through Jesus Christ can a person have a fellowship with God. So no amount of anything done by a person, by themselves, can gain acceptance to God. We have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God's court. It's obvious. For by grace are you saved through faith, not in yourself. It is a gift of God. What does Jesus mean to you and I? Have you done things God's way? And I've asked myself this, and I'm sure I've blown it through the years. But I pray to God, the more I learn about how much I have to depend upon him, that he'll have many more years after 57 years of serving him, that God would help me use it wisely to be doing just what he reveals that I can do. And God will show me that, I believe, just like he'll show you. Do you know for sure that you've been accepted by God? If not, you can be assured that you're accepted by God through Jesus Christ. And then once you get that settled, you can be sure that God is going to reveal to us, because he's our Father, how to walk in that light. I have no idea how to do it. My life has always been through the flesh. It's still in the flesh. So there's got to be that word of God, as Psalmist says, that's a lamp to my feet. Everywhere I go, it's a lamp to my feet. It's the light of God shining exactly where I'm at now. He's not going to show me out there 10 foot or 20 foot or 10 years or 50 years from now, except what I am in Jesus Christ in heaven. But every day is a process, a lamp to my feet. And as I walk in that light, bless his holy name, God, help me understand it. Oh, my God, help me understand it. If I walk in that light, then I'm going to be able to turn back again, as I've said many times, and see where that lamp to my feet gave me a light of a path that God kept His word and did exactly what He said He'd do based on how I approached Him who is the light. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your word. Doing things God's way, it is so important. And Lord, I'm not an expert, but I'm glad these people don't know down through the years what it was in training. You do. And Lord, I believe with all my heart You're trying Your best in these days to get us to see serving You is worth it, but we can't do it on our own energy. We have to depend upon You, and it's hard sometimes for a person to realize in flesh how God comes through the barrel of time and indwells us by His Spirit and has left us His Word, and what we do must be according to God's way based on His book. And Lord, this book is infallible. That means we can miss it to some degree in places because we're not infallible in the sense of the flesh. It's always a hindrance. But Lord, help us understand that what we try to give to You, You give back in many ways to help us. If I try to study and puff my mind up, Lord, and not use it as You give me the place to use it, then that knowledge will puff me up and I become a stalemate. God, help me to give what You give me. And in turn, it be right. Lord, I'm going to stand before You one day. And I've got a lot I'm going to give an account. In the early years, I'm sure there's a missing trial on things that I did in ignorance. But dear Father, that don't make a difference when it comes to that which is righteous. And I pray in the latter days that I'll be more in that which would be right with God's word than in those early days. And yet, I must realize if we say we have no sin as a child of God, we deceive ourselves. And that's when Satan can really trick us and get us sidetracked and cause us to bring shame to the name of Christ if we're not careful. Help us, Lord, to love You, serve You, and help our church to get what is needed that God could bless us together as a body of believers. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.